All right, so today is the 9th of January, 2019. It is the 3rd of Teves, Tavshin Ayin Tes, and we are up to Halacha Dei Perek Yudalev. So in the course of Yudalev, one thing we could have done for Halacha is the description of Minyanim. That's actually the source of that is from the Eda Hazos, from this congregation, which are 10 tribes. But I think we did that before at some point, talked about Minyan. But instead, we'll talk about today. Of course, you might all be better experts at this than I am, the idea of accepting Lashon Hara. Not that you're all better at accepting Lashon Hara, but does the daily Chafetz Chaim Seder continue with Rabbi Greenspan? Is that still part of the deal? Could use some Chazara on this. So it's not explicit over the course of this parak, but the what's going on there with regards to the, and I didn't find any gemaras that allude to our parak with regards to halachos of accepting Lashon Hara, but the assumption is that the sin of the Meraglim was that they violated Lashon Hara with regards to Eretz Yisrael, and then the assumption with Bnei Yisrael is that they violate anything with regards to accepting Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael. So maybe not. One could say that Meikar Adin. Right. So one could assume that they accepted it, although it's unclear what even the Lashon Hara was. I mean, there were two aspects to what the Meraglim said. I think we pointed some of this out yesterday. That is, there is the aspect of saying that it's going to be very difficult to conquer the land of Israel, and B, that it's going to be very, that the land's not so great anyways. It was never so great. With regards to, and then we talked about yesterday that the Sferno points out that to the Sanhedrin, to the people up top, they said, talked about how difficult it was to conquer the land. But then to the regular people, they spoke that the land isn't so wonderful anyways. But maybe it would be permissible. Maybe that would be okay. But anyways, they were supposed to overcome it with the Amunah that they were wrong. But that just opens the issue of the idea of accepting or listening to or acting on Lashon Hara that is spoken about other people. So there is the Chafetz Chaim in Hilchos Lashon Hara Klal Vav talks extensively about this issue that is prohibited to accept Lashon Hara. And then beyond that, it says in number two, it says Afal Shmiya Lashon Hara Levad Gam Kein Yishes Min HaTorah. There's even a prohibition Min HaTorah Isher Doraisa to even listen to Lashon, just to hear Lashon Hara. After Beisa Shmiya Ein B'Daitu LeKabel Sadaver. Even if while listening to it, you don't want to accept it, right? The whole time you're saying to yourself, I don't think this is true. This is all fake news. Still, the Lashon Hara says, Isser min HaTorah and Isser Doraisa to hear it. That's what it sounds like from the words. Now, well, it might be whittled away over the course of the very long footnote, which the Chafetz Chaim himself admittedly says. I mean, I'll explain to you very much what the source of this is. It'll take a long time, and it's a pretty long footnote in it's Be'er Mayim Chaim number two. So, where does he start from? So, there is a Gemara in Meseches Ksumas. There are a few Gemaras that allude to this. All of them seem to be sort of like throw-ins. Like, oh, this person also used to say the following. And it's always unclear what type of halachic statement the person is making when we do that. So this is one. So Darash Bar Kapara. So Bar Kapara said once, "My dechsev, what does the pasuk mean when it says, V'yaseid tiyeh l'cha al aznecha? Al azeinecha, that you will have a spike in addition to your weapons." Now, what is that? That's in Devarim Perek Chav Gimel. And the literal meaning of it is that besides having a weapon, this is when you go to war, besides having the weapons that you're going to take with you to war, you're also going to have a spike, something to dig out the ground in order so that the human excrement will have a place to go. Meaning, we are kadosh, we don't just leave human waste wherever we feel like it, but the camp should be pure, and therefore, when you go to war, besides the weapons, you also have to bring equipment to make sure that you'll have a place to put what you need to be put. I actually had a up-close look at this when we were skiing, so it snowed about a foot one of the nights we were there, and the next day I see the people who like go to the top of the mountain and then like take another walk to like the top of the peak in order to try to find untracked patterns. So they have these packs that they take with them. They actually have to, they're required to take shovels with them. That if they get stuck, so they have these, I can see these backpacks with these big shovels in the back. That's like part of the deal that they have to take with them. So similar to here. Now when you go out to war, so you're required to take the spike with you. But the Gemara comments, "Al tikri azinecha." Don't read it as with your weapons. Ela al oznecha. Rather on your ears. Shim yishma adam davar she'enu hagun. That if a person hears something that is improper, right? Yaniach etzba'u ba'aznach. He should take his fingers and place it in his ears. So he's not going to hear. So v'haynu dam Rabbi Eliezer. That's Rabbi Eliezer coming. If ma etzba'u shel adam domus liyasedos, which is also what Rabbi Eliezer said. Why is it that fingers of a person are similar to spikes? So the Gemara comments, wait a second, what do you mean by time? Ili mishud de mechalkin, if you say, why are they being separated? Kol chadu v'chadu l'milsa avi. This is each one, from each finger we actually learn out a halacha. This is just a very interesting side point. Each finger teaches a din. Damar mar, zu zeres. When with the smallest finger we say, this is the zeres. Why? That's the measurement that was used to measure the choshen of the Kohen Gadol. That the choshen should be a zeres long and a zeres wide. The length is measured using the little finger. That is, it is the distance between the thumb and the little finger. Ah, so that's the length there. From the left thumb to the middle finger, that's the length of the... it's
not so big, if you think about it.
Yeah, okay. The fourth finger is known as the kemitza, because that was used to scoop up the kemitza offering. Zu'ama, the middle is the ama, that's used to measure from end to end the amount of ama. And zu'etzba, the finger, that's used to apply the dam. And zu'godel, the thumb, which was used also to apply blood under certain circumstances. So each finger has something to do. So whereas, like, so why are you asking about why are the fingers are like spikes? We know what the fingers are there for. So rather, no, Rabbi Eliezer's question was, El matam mishupos kisedos. Why is it that the fingers are tapered like spikes? The fingers start as thick at the bottom and get skinnier as you go up. This is like so cool. I thought this score was like so cool. Why should each part of the body? We don't think about this, right? But why? That if a person will hear something that's not proper, that their fingers will fit perfectly into their ear, right? Otherwise it would get stuck or it would be too fat, right? So this way it fits perfectly in. So similarly, Tana Dvei Rabbi Yishmael, if they ma ozen kula kasha va al yaraba, why is it that the ear is hard while the lobe is soft? Shein yishma adam davar sheino hagun, that a person will hear something that's not proper, yachal al yalasochel, he'll be able to bend the lobe into his ear.
While sticking his finger in.
For good measure. Correct. So if a person is saying Lashon Hara, that's what he's supposed to do. As the famous song in Marvel's Midos Machine goes, Bruce, you have Marvel's Midos Machine at home. I'll find it on Google Play. That's why Hashem gave us two lips to keep our mouth shut tight and two lobes to close our ears from hearing things not right like Lashon Hara. Right, so that's this Gemara Maseches Ksuvos. Okay? So anyways, now you'll never look at your fingers or your earlobes in the same way. No matter how low they hang and no matter how much they wobble, right, the purpose is to close your ears from hearing things not right. Fine. So that's the Gemara in Maseches Ksuvos. So the Chafetz Chaim in Sefer Chafetz Chaim, so Ber Maim Chaim, so he gets into, okay, so what is that? Is that a Din D'Oraisa? Is that a Din D'Rabbanan? Like, what is that? It's being learnt out from Psukim, this prohibition. Does that mean that it's an Issur D'Oraisa? So the Chafetz Chaim says, no, not necessarily. That's probably what we qualify as an Esmachna B'Yamun. I just looked the notes before. I got a few minutes here. I took a look in the Masifta Gemara. The Masifta Gemara, actually, I wouldn't have found this on my own, but it quotes from the Mor Nevuchim, pointing out that the Mor Nevuchim uses this pasuk as an example of an Esmachna. What is an Esmachna? We've talked about this before.
Hints.
What does it mean, hints? That's it. Like the Gemara will sometimes use a pasuk to teach a certain halacha, but it doesn't mean that that's the pshat in order to teach the action. It doesn't mean that's an Issur D'Oraisa. It means that there might be an Issur D'Rabbanan or a good thing to do, and it finds source in the pasuk. But not necessarily. But it's a little unclear. What is the Gemara doing with that? The Gemara doesn't necessarily tell you whether it's a Din D'Oraisa, Din D'Rabbanan, and Smachta, you know, what it's doing over there. But that's the Rambam at least uses this as an example, as a of an obvious Asmachta. But perhaps the more more famous Gemara, plus there's actually a story attached to it, and a holiday, not really a holiday, but a specific day of the year that is attached to it, and that about with regards to listening to Lashon Hara has to do with the story of Gedaliah. Familiar with the story of Gedaliah?
He
was killed, yes. We have, right, we have a whole fast for
it. And nonetheless, they didn't take the warning seriously.
Very good. Very good. Right. So let's just review the Gemara here. So the Gemara tells them Sechas Nida, Daf Samach Aleph Amar Aleph. We'll get up to this in Daf Yom Yirsu Hashem about 11 and a half months from now, where the Gemara comments, right, Hainu is a, there's a pasuk in Yirmiyahu that says, Vahabor, Asher Hishlich Sham Yishmol es Kol Pigri Anashim, Asher Hika Biyad Gedaliahu. That is a pit in which Yishmol threw all the corpses of the men that were struck through the hands of Gedaliah. So who's Yishmol and who's Gedaliah and who are these people? So the first of all, when was Gedaliah, by the way? First base of Midrash, second base of Midrash, before,
second,
after, during, what?
No, it was Babylon. After the Babylonians conquered, Babylonians were in control of the first base.
Yes, so there's allusions to Gedaliah not just in Yirmiyahu, but also in Sefer Malachim, that Gedaliah was the governor in Eretz Yisrael after the destruction of the first base of Midrash.
He was appointed by the Babylonians.
Yeah. Right.
No.
Well, first of all, it's in Tanakh. So once it's in Tanakh, you're out of the. There's no Roman in Tanakh, at least not explicitly, right? So you're automatically, you can't be, if you're in Tanakh, you can't be later than the beginning of the second base of English, right? So that's one. That's one key to keep in mind whenever anybody asks that question.
Where is this in Tanakh?
Where is it? So in Yirmiyahu. And then also in Malachim, it's talked about. It's hinted. It's alluded to in Malachim, but the parak that describes it more fully. So in the years following the Shana Beis Hamikdash, there were still Jews in Eretz Yisrael. We don't normally think about it that way, but there were still Jews there. And they appointed Gedaliah, that Gedaliah was going to be in charge of them. Now Gedaliah, now whenever you have that type of situation, we still see it today, right? There are Jews that want to agitate more, and the Jews that want to agitate less. There are Jews that will say, you know, we should be happy with what we got, then we'll put up with the rest of the humiliation. The Jews say, what do you mean? Yeah, how dare you put up with what was given to us?
Kill the Babylonians.
Yeah, right. So that's the so that was the machlokas that was raging at the time. So, anyways. So there was, anyways, there was a rumor. So that was part of the challenge. But so Gedaliah is in charge. Someone named Yochanan comes to Gedaliah, says that Yishmael has been sent to kill you. And then Yishmael invited him, but Gedaliah refused to believe. And the guard says, Gedaliah, did Gedaliah kill him? Well, Yishmael hargan, Yishmael killed him. Rather, what is it that Gedaliah was given the advice of Yochanan? He was told by Yochanan that you better not put yourself in a situation where you're close to Yisrael, because he's going to kill you. But he didn't listen to him. So Ma'alavakasu kilu argan. So the pasuk describes it as if Gedaliah killed those people, even though he did not. Right, Yishmael didn't just kill Gedaliah; he also killed the 80 people that were sad over the destruction of the base at Mikdash. The plan was they wanted to make it appear as those people have been killed by Gedaliah because they were crying about the base of Migdash and they weren't being content with being subservient to Nebuchadnezzar, and therefore that's why Yishmael was trying to show off to the king, even though Gedaliah wasn't necessarily in that camp. So those people, right, the pasuk describes that Yishmael threw all the corpses of the people killed by Gedaliah. Yishmael killed Gedaliah also, and Gedaliah didn't kill them, but they were killed by way of Gedaliah, because Gedaliah wasn't careful enough. So Amarava Hailishna Bisha. So Barava says that this type of Lashon Hara, Afal Pi Dila Kabule Lo Mibai, even though you're not allowed to accept it, Mechash Le Mibai, that a person should at least be mindful of it. And Gedaliah wasn't mindful of it enough. Now, that Gemara is a very difficult, that's a very difficult line to try to straddle, right? That we're not going to accept it, but we're going to listen to it.
Take precautions, maybe that's what they mean.
Right. But what does that mean? So we'll get to that a little bit in a second, but the Gemara also then goes and gives us another story. Ano b'nei Galilai d'nafak alayu kalad d'katal nafshe, that there were these people from the Galil, that the rumor had spread that they had killed someone. So also, kamid rabbi tarfa, they show rabbi tarfa's house. They say, please hide us from the authorities that are after us. Now, these are the Roman authorities. It's unclear who they killed also.
Which Gemara is this?
This is Gemara Nida, Samach Aleph Amid Aleph. 61a, yes.
Nida, okay.
Nida, yes. So,
place you would find
well, you know.
Everything
has a place. The reason it gets into this is that it has to do with Tumah, that there's a story right before it about Tumah Vitara, that they used some kind of mechanism to find where there was a mass burial site. So that's how it gets into this discussion. But anyways, rumor spread they killed. So they came in front of Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon says, they say to him, hide us. So Amar Lu Hechi Navi. So he says, what am I supposed to do? In lo atmirin chu chazu yisaychu. So if I don't hide you, so they're going to see you and they're going to kill you. Id marinchu, if I do hide you, ha Amar Rabbanan. So the Rabbanan will say, hi Lishna Bisha. Right, Afal Gabdul Kabuli Lomi Boy, Mechashlemi Boy, Zilu Atun Tamun Nafshaychu. He says, should I take you in? But the Ravanan say, even though there's only a rumor, I should be nervous about it. I should be nervous about the rumor. And so rather, what is that? Rather, what should happen? Go hide yourself. Now, there is a whole discussion as to what exactly is going on here. What are they afraid of? And what's he afraid of? Right, is he afraid of being turned in? Right, is Rabbi Tarfon afraid of being turned in, that if he gets caught aiding and abetting these people, he's going to be in trouble? Or is he afraid that maybe these people will kill him? Right, that these are dangerous people that we're letting into the house? Now, there's a whole discussion here about what this discussion is. It's actually used for this Gemara is one of the Makaros on the topic of putting one's life in danger in order to save someone else. Right, for example, giving up a kidney or giving up... Or risking one's life to jump into a pool in order to save someone else's life, right? So you're putting your life at risk in order to save someone. So this is one of those makoros that are brought up. It's generally understood to be a rishus, that it's permitted, that we're not going to obligate you to put your life at risk, but we assumed it to be something you're permitted to do, and perhaps even a righteous act to do in order to save someone else. However, some point out that if it's a righteous act at all, so what's Rabbi Tarfon doing here, not letting them in? Rabbi Tarfon is a pretty righteous dude, right? So what gives? Anyways, this is probably the more famous Gemara, where the Gemara sets up this principle that if somebody is coming, there's a rumor about a particular person that we should not accept, we shouldn't believe that it's true. But meichish leilibai. However, one is going to be mindful. One should recognize that it's possible. So, and then it points out. The Chafetz Chaim points out one more makor. Makor is in Masechta Shabbos. Masechta Shabbos there talks about David and accepting lashon hara, and actually uses the language there of David being mekabel lashon hara. So, what do you mean mekabel? How's he allowed? So we just learned in Nida that you're not allowed to be mekabel. So Chafetz Chaim says, yeah, but. Yeah, it's David HaMelech, he's the king. He's got to protect the entire Jewish people, and he would act accordingly. So, but he's still left. The Chafetz Chaim is still left, sort of hanging out there, as to whether it's Issa D'Rabban or whether it's Issa D'Oraisa. By the way, so he points out also that there is another pasuk where this comes up. Right, we had the pasuk. So he ends up pointing to pasuk in Mishpatim. Yeah. Parachaf Gimel Pasuk Aleph. What does it say there? Lo sisa shema shav. Lo sisa, that's what it says. Don't accept a false report. Now, the Gemara actually points out that the previous pasuk is, even though it's the previous parak, maybe that's why we didn't pick up on this in Shmos when we learned it. You're going to be kodesh to me. The treif meat, one should not eat. Throw it to the dogs. The next pasuk is lo sisa shema shav. That one should not accept evil reports. So what does that mean? So the Gemara makes a comment, if someone's going to accept an evil report, if we hear evil reports, we should throw it to the dogs, right? It puts those two psukim together. But the Chafetz Chaim suggests that this pasuk of Losi Sashi Mashav is used in the Gemara to teach what? To teach, the main halacha it's used to teach is that one is not permitted to hear a court case, to hear the facts of a court, listen to one of the Baal Yedinim, if they're going to be a dayan on the court case. That one, when one is a judge for in a Beis Din, so one is not supposed to hear the arguments until both parties are in front of him. To hear the arguments of one of the parties, right, is to then subject yourself, you're already going to be biased going in. So that's learned out from this pasuk. But yet, the Gemara Maseches Pesachim uses this pasuk to teach the idea of accepting lashon hara. That lashon hara that you hear should be thrown to the dogs. So are they both to be accepted as pshat on the pasuk? So Rashi actually on the pasuk says katar gemalot to kabel shema shaker, right? Azhara lemakabel lashon hara. This is a warning to those who would accept lashon hara. And uladayin shelo yishma divrei balidinim achiyavo. Based in Baldin Chaver, that one, the dayan shouldn't listen to the judge to the argument of one person before the other person comes. So Rashi seems to be putting them together. However, that's Rashi and Chumash giving you pshat on the pasuk. But more importantly, probably for our purposes, is the Rambam. That the Rambam in Hilchos Sanhedrin puts both of these halachos together. One should not hear the argument of one person before the other person is present, and one should not hear bad things about another person. And he seems to put them together by saying, because there should only be one din d'oraisa, learned that from the pasuk, but he puts them together by saying, what's the yesod of the pasuk? Not to judge people wrongly. So, and not to accept the lying, as he says here, allow these things in his ears that are going to cause him to misjudge the situation. So too, an individual should not allow things into his ears that perhaps could cause him to misjudge the situation. So therefore, that's how the Chafetz Chaim feels that he is justified in saying that even shmias lashon hara, even listening to lashon hara, is in fact an iser d'oraisa. Okay, so that is the Chafetz Chaim. I just want to add on two more nekudos onto this. So there is a tshuva from Rav Shternbach. Rav Shternbach, Moshe Shternbach, did that name come across here? He's still alive today. He must be well into his 90s. He's written, it's already been many decades already ago that he wrote the Sefer of Moedim Muzmanim. That perhaps is what he was more famous for, but over the past many years, he comes out with these Svarim Tshuvos Van Hagos have come out, and there's, I think, there's four volumes for sure, and then I think there's been another two volumes as well. There's four volumes in Hebrew books, but I think there's more volumes. Each one has about 800 tshuvos in them. I mean, this is Simon Tafkuf Nun Hei. Tafkuf Nun Hei is number 500 and Nun Hei.
55.
Number 555, and this is about halfway through the Sefer. So, now he doesn't put in, I don't know if they're all questions that people asked him, right? There is a style of writing responsa where you make up the questions and then you write the answers to them, right? There's nothing illegal about that. And he doesn't put in, like Rav Moshe puts in, the person who he's writing to and the date and things like that. So that he doesn't have. So, not sure. But anyways, this is Tafkuf Nun Hei, Be'isr Kabbalas Lashon Hara V'Gadra. What are the rules of accepting Lashon Hara? And he quotes the Chafetz Chaim. And then he says, "V'dvarv t'mum." What did the Chafetz Chaim say? It's not, you're not allowed to accept lashon hara. Shama ra'al chaver, rakish lahamidu al cheskaso. Rather, people should maintain their cheskas kashrus. Right? If a person is assumed to be kasher beforehand, they should be assumed to be kasher afterwards. Aval ein lo od afilu safek bilvavo kol zman sheish chazaka. If a person has a chazaka, you shouldn't have a suffix. So, sorry. The full line is Mikom Akum Lemechush Mias Bay Levar Uli Zahir. You should be careful about it, to look into it and be careful about it. Aval Ein Lo Oda, but you shouldn't have a suffix in your heart so long as the person has a chazaka. So that sounds a little contradictory, right? Look into it, be careful, be nervous, ask around, but you shouldn't have a suffix that there's anything amiss there. So says the the Rav Shurbach, which says a Dvarim Tumu mode, right? It's like, what does that mean? How are you supposed to work that? Atu b'nei adam malachi ashari same, are people malachim? V'cheshumei mi adam mehemet she'enu sonu v'choshish b'libo, that person's going to hear something for that doesn't hate the other person, and he's going to be choshish for it. Heyach neimash zeu isra kabal sonu, how could you say it? There's an isra of accepting it to the point that you're going to act, but you're not going to act, etc. And he says, I also saw this question by the Chazon Ish. Right, maybe Shashal Mi Achazun Ish Veheishu Mi Yachol Lamud Bazeh. How is it possible? Ein Ze Elo Lamdus. Right, this whole thing is just like a mental exercise, but it's hard to figure out what the halach is. Bekavanas So Sharei Iyav Shal Lamud Bazeh Velo Nit the Torah L'Malchi Asharis. V'Lachein Nir Bekavanas Chavetz Chaim says Rav Shurbach. D'Chesh Shumei Lashon Hara Halo Teva HaAdam Hu LaHamin L'Mesapir U'Refrat Imhu Adam Neman. Right, the teva of a person, the nature of a person, is to accept from whatever the person is telling him. Right, this is a good guy. They know what they're doing. They say true things. You know, the network is shown in every airport in the country. Right, we accept what was told to us. V'nase lo al kopanim suffik gamur, and at least it's going to make a full suffik. Now, what is the din? The din is each person maintains their chazaka. They maintain their truth. Now, what is that? How is that then? Yeah, you're allowed to ask around. You're allowed to suggest. You're allowed to look for sources, etc. It says, "Iker iser kavas lashon hara hu leechar hashmiya." Rather, the iser of accepting lashon hara isn't when you're listening to it, but rather after you hear it. You can't change anything. That's what the Isser is. That's what he's driving at. Not that you can't be suspicious, you can't keep it in your mind, but you can't change your action. You're not allowed to take action against the person unless you then were bodek, unless you then were able to look into the situation and been able to at least ascertain something. But just based on one person's words, so that's not enough to take action. That seems to be what he's saying now. There's obviously some challenges there with regards to dangerous things. But in terms of taking actions that would damage a particular person, so one is not permitted to do so. We had last night the JFCS building. They ran a program for one or two people per shul went about how to set up rules and regulations about abuse and things like that. Youth groups, how are you going to run that? And they said the person giving it said a very interesting yesod. He said you're very rarely going to see people in the act of think about these terrible things that could be done to children. You're never going to see someone doing it. What you could catch people doing is violating your policies. When you're violating your policies, so then that's grounds to do something. So the idea is to set up policies that are very clear, and that will then avoid those acts in the future. Just conclude with one more piece here. So in Mesilas Yesharim, the 20th parak of Mesilas Yesharim is B'mishka HaChasidus. It's entitled B'mishka HaChasidus, concerning the weighing of saintliness. And he adds here, he says here, V'nei mashatzarech lahavinhu. I'm sorry. Where is it here? Right, it's very v'tida be'emes shezui hamalach akasha shebechasidus. It's a very difficult thing having to do with chasidus. Ki dakusu rav. It's v'yesh liyitzer b'davar hazek kenisa gedola al kenimse sakanaso atzuma ki harbe dvarim tovim yochel hayitzer l'rache ki ilu heim rayim v'harbe chatayim l'karv ki ilu heim mitzvus gedolos. Right, you have to be it's a very difficult thing finding the balance of chasidus because within the power of the Yetzer Hara to make many good things seem bad and to make many bad things seem good. A person can only be successful in measuring and weighing these issues by number one, shiyeh libo yasher shel bavavos, that he needs to have a very a just heart. He has to recognize that what he's doing is in order to bring nachas ruach, favor to Hashem. Not only that, I'm sorry, did I mess up here? Do I should leave my Yeshua? It's because he's going to have to go in front of Hashem, and also,
You have to look very careful into your actions. Be able to perfect it according to this way. And these nations obviously require a very tough balance. Right? You hear very clearly, oh, I don't want to say anything about the certain situations. Well, very often that's what you are supposed to do. On the other hand, people are sometimes very quick to say things about situations when they're not to do. So in order to find the balance is something very difficult and important to do. And obviously, as we've seen in some of the stories, sometimes people's very lives are on the line. But I think our time is up for now, and I just want to discuss this further in the future.
Yes. Should he have listened? I mean,
he should have been choshesh. Okay. And not put himself alone with...
But it says that you shouldn't change your actions.
Right, right. So I think change your actions to the... So I had that question. So you're still stuck. I think you need to change your actions to the detriment of that person. That's what I would say. Meaning, so don't let yourself be... He didn't have no obligation to be alone or to be in a close situation with Yishmael. Right? Just don't go around saying, you know, Yishmael is out to get me, kill him. Right, Yishmael is out to get me. Kick him out of the city.
Don't let him into the building. Don't let him come near.
Right, right. So that's what I think that's what it means. It means something that would not be to the detriment of that person. So sometimes that is, sometimes it isn't. I think that's what it means.
Is somebody criticized generally for what he did?
Gedalia is, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would add as well, the thought came to me that some Gedalia is right after Rosh Hashanah. I mean, it happened on Rosh Hashanah, and it's the day after, that perhaps Rosh Hashanah is a time when we perhaps go extreme to one area of chassidus, one area of righteousness, and we have to be careful that even during this time of intense attention to righteous acts, one still has to pay attention and find the Shvil Hazav, the middle path in doing those things. Yeah. One second. Well, I'm sorry, what?
You said that you shouldn't.